Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Dear Blood River Radio family, me and Sister Nancy, we've tried to keep the boat afloat in the second hour, but we got a great guest coming on, special guest. His name is Mr. Paul Fromm. He's been in the movement. He's been one of us, God, I guess since the 60s. He's been doing things legitimately in an organized way longer than I have. Everybody and his mother knows, I grew up in the streets of South Memphis and was fighting gangs of feral black animals, when I was 10, 11 years old. But as far as an organized organized resistance, like getting into the White Citizens Council, something like that, the League of the South, I didn't do that until fairly old. But anyway, we have none other than my brother, your fellow white man from the north, our northern neighbors to the north, Canada. He's the man that turned us on to Sister Braveheart, a.k.a. Monica Schaefer. It's none other than Paul Fromm. He's gonna bring us up. Some of us are going to be really funny. You're talking about a laugh. He's going to tell us about some stuff. Some of it's serious. And he's also going to talk about some political prisoners stuff anyway. But Sister Nancy is going to kind of run the interview. I'm going to bring them in and out of the breaks because Sister Nancy knows more about what's going on about this than I do. So anyway, we're going to introduce Paul Fromm. How are you doing tonight, Paul?
Well, I'm doing really well, and it's always an honor to be on Blood River Radio. And what a wonderful name, Blood River. What a powerful symbol of one of the great triumphs of our people.
Yes, sir. We picked that almost. I used to go back and talk about it all the time. The name came to me in a dream. The desire to get this program going, to put it on the air years ago. And after I thought about it, name came to me in a dream. I'm not trying to sound too religious or clairvoyant or whatever, but I said it had to be Blood River or nothing. And very few people, I can think of only one other person that said, yeah, Blood River is great. Most people said, oh, you can't use that. It sounds like a militaristic. It sounds evil. People are going to say, look at all those poor innocent Zulu warriors that they were out, they were quoting poetry every day, and they were building hospitals and cleaning running water. Evil white people slaughtered them on the banks of that river. You shouldn't do that.
When they weren't doing that, they were inventing mathematics and philosophy, which the Greeks stole from them.
Right. That's right. That's absolutely right. And you know what? There's nobody I know of that's more qualified to tell us about these things we're talking about than Mr. Paul Fromm. He's going to enlighten us of some everything going on up north in Canada. And also, if time, we worked in some of the political prisoners, some of the best known ones that are being punished or in Canada. We have our share here in Memphis, in Charlottesville. But anyway, Mr. Paul, Brother Paul, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm going to turn you loose, and Sister Nancy can kind of run the interview. Like I said, I'll bring y'all in and out of the breaks, but take off where you want to start now, Paul.
Well, sometimes things are funny. And we had a really funny incident a week ago Friday in the Canadian Parliament. The Canadian government was honoring this arch-corrupt Jew who runs the Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. And he addressed the joint houses of parliament. And we gave him a big old check for $600 million. And that was a great time. He was calling Trudeau brother, and they were arm in arm. And so it was just a great moment of camaraderie and rip off of the taxpayer and tomfoolery. But it got even better because the Speaker of the House of Commons introduced several people that were important, and one of them was a 98-year-old Ukrainian gentleman named Yaroslav Hunka. And the speaker introduced him as a Ukrainian patriot who had fought for Ukraine's freedom in the Second World War. Well, he got two standing ovations. And he also got to meet Zelensky. And we believe he also had a private meeting with Trudeau. Okay, so a great time to say by one and all. But then on Sunday, this Jewish publication out of New York, I believe it's the Tribune, but anyway, it said, but this guy Hunka was a Nazi. Well, that's exaggerating a little bit. The truth was he served in the first Ukrainian division, or more often
Waffen-SS.
The 14th SS division. The insanity was on. No, Nazi. Oh, he's so beautiful. Oh, no, you were deceived. Oh, no. It's also called the Galician Division. So, and the press was going crazy. All the opposition parties demanded that the speaker resign. He was even thrown under the bus by, he's a member of the Liberal Party, thrown under the bus by the prime minister, the foreign minister, everybody was denouncing the papers, saying, how could this possibly be honoring a Nazi? Okay. But by Tuesday, the speaker had resigned. So he's out. He gave up a tremendous job. He's gone. The prime minister apologized. I don't know what you're apologizing for, but apologizing. And they were even looking for ways to remove from the official record. You call it the congressional record. We call it the Hansard. But to remove the kind words that were said about him, as long as being Ukrainian patriot who fought for Ukrainian freedom.
That was so funny.
I don't think they were able to do that, but that just shows you how Orwellian our masters are. They want to rewrite history. Okay, so let's all pop a Valium and calm down, and let's look at the truth. Okay, the truth was, Mr. Hunka did fight in the Galician Division or the 14th SS or the 1st Ukrainian, depending on what you want to call it. But I prefer the Galician Division or the 14th SS Division. Okay.
Yes.
Did that make him a fan of Hitler? Well, we don't know. He never said. In the historical situation, here was this young man's dilemma. So the Ukraine had been occupied by Soviet Russia, actually incorporated into Soviet Russia since 1919. The Russians had done unspeakable things to the Ukrainians. Mm-hmm. And they had imposed the famine in 1932-33 that the Ukrainians called the Holodomor. The Canadian Parliament even recognized that a month or two ago as an atrocity, as a genocide. And okay, here's a patriotic young Ukrainian guy. What does he do? The Russians have occupied his country since 1919. In come the Germans in 1941. They liberate the Ukraine. There begins to be some degree of Ukrainian self-government. Well, then the tide of war begins to turn in 43, and Hitler is looking for people. Well, the Ukrainians want to defend themselves. They don't want to be rolled over and reincorporated into the Soviet Union. So here's the dilemma. What would you do? Well, you could join the Russians, which means you're going to impose occupation on your country, or you could join this unit, the Galician Division or the 14th SS Division, that is going to help defend your country. That is what Yaroslav Hinka did. Mm-hmm. And that's the context. And Well, I even read in a couple of newspapers that they said, but he had a choice. He didn't have to join with the Germans. He could have joined with the Russians. Yeah, he could have.
I mean, yeah, the Russians exterminated 11 million people in the Ukraine. Sure, join with them.
Well, you know, Paul, if I'm not mistaken, this goes back to the early settlement under of Catherine the Great of the German-Swiss Mennonites, and that was Ingrid Rimlin, explained that to me, that when the Germans came in, that they were greeted as saviors to the Ukrainian people.
Well, that's true, but it's a little different. Ingrid was talking about the German population that had been invited in by Catherine the Great, the so-called Volga German. That's right. A different matter. Jaroslav Hinka was ethnic Ukrainian. But both people have faced the same choice. Do you support the occupiers and persecutors, or do you support the people who liberated them? And you know, that's a choice. And but according to the people today, you made the wrong choice.
Y'all, we go to a quick break. Dear Blood River Radio listeners, family, we got to go to this first break in the third hour. We'll be right back as soon as this message is over.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
A Bienis is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Here's Blood River Radio, family. We're going to go right back to Paul. Paul told me this story, I think it was yesterday, the day before yesterday. I laughed. I mean, almost peed my pants. I laughed so hard. But we all need a nice light moment every now and then. That was so fun. I could just see those clowns up there. You know what? That would be like some synagogue, the biggest synagogue in Memphis, bringing Pastor Thomas Robb in because he saved a drowning child or something. They come in and they introduce him, Pastor Thomas Robb, and he's a good Jew. Oh, you're not Jewish? What's your profession? I'm the national leader of the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, could you imagine? Do you think that Rabbi would have that job long? But yeah, I'm sure that's the way the news would make it out. But anyway, go right back to you, Paul. I mean, we're just I couldn't help but get that did my heart good to hear that. It was so funny.
It was funny. Funny in one way. You've got to wonder at the level of ignorance of the speaker, who, from what I can gather, is a relatively nice man. His staff and whoever else vetted this, they're so illiterate about history because of our rotten education system. They wouldn't know a thing about this. The Jews told them. It's even weirder because our minister of everything, Chrystia Freeland, she's now finance minister and deputy prime minister. She's a Ukrainian girl from Alberta, married to some fellow named Freeland. But she's an ultra super liberal. But her opponents have said that her grandfather was a Nazi, and have his name was Chomiak, and he was in fact the editor of a publication in the Second World War that was Ukrainian nationalist, but pro Hitler. I mean, what are you going to be? You're either for the people that have liberated your country, or you want the communist oppressors back. Well, she has worn this label for years. There's been a lot of denials and, reading between the lines and so on. But she at least would have known the complexities. And the fact she didn't speak up and do something is a complete disgrace. But she is a disgrace. She's a radical, greenie, LGBTQ. She's one of George Soros' Klaus Schwab's protege. So, but it was funny. In fact, Hunka, the 98-year-old Ukrainian, gave a donation, a request of $30,000 to the Ukrainian Studies Department at the University of Alberta, and they have now returned the money. I mean, they're so caught up in the Holocaust religion that they'll even give money away or their money back. And all the boo-hoo-hooing and embarrassment, liberal House leader, Karina Gould, said that it hit her particularly hard because she is a child, a grandchild of Holocaust survivors. So
they all are.
So World War II replayed itself, I must say, to the amusement of all of us. And I put out two monthly newsletters, so I'm going to do something that might be very embarrassing for me. So, personally, I'm going to say something nice about a liberal. I'm going to say Anthony Rota. He's the House Speaker. Rota was right.
But I'll tell you what, that one of the funniest stories. A fellow we got a text a few minutes ago. I can't believe the guy sent it in. I probably shouldn't say it over there, but people might think it was a bridge too far. But I'll save it for later if we run out of funny stuff to talk about. But go ahead, Nancy, take over to you. Paul, before starting back over to Nancy, what's the latest thing? I heard that are they still persecuting, they being the Canadian government, are they still persecuting? Remember a couple of years ago when they had that massive truck drivers in Canada were shutting down and protesting the government, everything. Are they being persecuted like the January 6th people here in the United States? What's become of that?
Well, there are several trials, but one of the really interesting ones is that of a woman named Tamara Litch. She's a grandmother from Medicine Hat, Alberta, and she pulled off a miracle. In 3 weeks' time, she raised over $20 million on GoFundMe and a Christian you know, online funding thing that I, his name I forget, but
GiveSendGo.
Sorry.
It was GiveSendGo is the name of that the Christian.
Most of which was stolen by the government or frozen. The truckers never did not get most of that. But anyway, she's on trial in Ottawa for counseling mischief. Now, that's got, you know, even lawyers scratching their heads. Mischief is a very, very minor charge. And she's not charged with having done mischief, just counseling it. She spent 54 days in jail. It was almost impossible to get her bail. When she did get bail, the conditions were horrific. She's not allowed to go on the social media, not allowed to make any comments about the truckers' protests, and not allowed to contact certain other individuals who were also charged. The trial is into its just finished its second week. It's being adjourned to October. When you look at the Canadian system, is very, very lax when it comes to granting bail to criminals. There's a fellow who is alleged to have shot a police officer a couple of summers ago in the parking lot of Toronto City Hall. Eventually, they charged the fellow, who is a Muslim. He spent a bit of time in jail, and then he got bail. Now, it's like he's out on bail on murder charges. His bail conditions are that he wear a bracelet and that he stay at home except to go to work, go to religious or medical or legal meetings. So a guy commits murder out on bail. A woman, totally nonviolent, they desperately did not even want to give her bail, but when she did get bail, they found a really horrible condition. It's like what's happened to the January 6th folks. The state is extremely vengeful and against people who oppose the government. And I always find it a bit of a snicker every time the Prime Minister Trudeau talks about defending democracy in the Ukraine. I thought, never mind defending democracy in the Ukraine, what about defending our rights here in Canada? He invoked the equivalent of the War Measures Act to smash the truckers' protest. An entirely peaceful protest. And they recently invoked further sanctions on a number of Russian individuals and companies, and the foreign minister was saying, "We are defending democracy and freedom in Russia." Why not defend for our freedoms here in Canada? I was so hoping the Russian ambassador would call in the Canadian foreign minister and tear a strip off her and say, how can you be so hypocritical? You dealt with your opposition in a pretty ruthless way, and you're complaining because we deal with our opposition in a pretty ruthless way. I mean, what hypocrites?
Mm-hmm. You know, you have anything to add, Monica? I mean, excuse me, Nancy. Go ahead, Sister Nancy.
I was thinking about what someone said about the situation in Ukraine with reference to, I think Rand Paul was talking about, how can we call a place like Ukraine a democracy when they will not allow an election for the new president or a new president?
Yes. And we'll go back. We need to go visit that as soon as we come back from this break. Got to go to a quick break, folks. Be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jeremy Scott. Sources say House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is expected to urge Republicans to back a short-term funding bill with disaster relief that could avert a partial government shutdown. This after Republican lawmakers blocked another stopgap bill yesterday. The U.S. is on the brink of a fourth partial shutdown in the past decade as the chamber has been unable to pass legislation to keep the government funded after tonight. More than 25,000 workers are on strike against Detroit automakers after another 7,000 walked off the job in Illinois and Michigan yesterday. United Auto Workers expanded its strike to put more pressure on Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis. The strike is entering its third week. A massive wet weather system is moving on from parts of the Northeast, but plenty of damage was done, and there's a heroic rescue to report in New Jersey.
Folks who live in the Northeast looking to dry out after record rain hits towns in New Jersey and New York City. Flash flooding, a huge problem in Brooklyn, and water cascading into the New York City subway system, causing flooding and signal issues in the train system. Flooding on the Grand Central Parkway as people tried to get to LaGuardia Airport to catch flights. Record-breaking rain over at JFK Airport, where almost 8 inches of rain hit. In Fairfield, New Jersey, about 25 miles from the city, a man rescued by a police officer as his car fills with water. The officer putting the driver on his back and carrying him to safety in waist-deep water.
Laura Winters reporting. Authorities in Illinois say there are multiple fatalities after a semi-truck carrying toxic anhydrous ammonia overturned and crashed into several vehicles on Highway 40 southeast of Springfield last night. Residents near Teutopolis have been evacuated due to dangerous air conditions. Hazmat crews have been working to contain the toxic chemical. There is no word yet how many people died or were injured. This is USA News.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Hey, good morning. You're heading to the airport, right?
Yep, thanks for checking. I like the car. How long have you been a rideshare driver?
About 3 years now. I really enjoy it.
Isn't it hard to make money these days with the price of gas being so high?
Not for me. I use Upside, the free app that gives you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get real money back when you get gas with the Upside app?
Yep, I get real cash back every time I get gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
I'll make around $200 to $300.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code GEAR for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code GEAR for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code GEAR.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we're coming back and we'll have a better connection with Paul now. We were all having a little difficulty hearing him, but I think we're better right now. But anyway, go right back to Paul. We were asking him about, I'll shut up and let Paul tell you what we're asking him about. Go ahead, Paul. You continue on and we'll just be taking notes and asking you questions as we go, brother. I'm so glad you're here tonight.
You wanted to talk about some of the political prisoners in Canada, and one of them, he's a repeat political prisoner, is a friend of mine, Brad Love. He was an oil worker up in Fort McMurray, Alberta. And Brad is one of these outspoken individuals who, 30, 40 years ago might have gotten himself a citizen's award. You know, what's a good citizen? Well, he's one who reads about, public issues, forms an opinion, and gets up on his hind legs and takes a stand. He writes a letter to the editor, or he writes a letter to politicians. Well, in 2000, Brad Love had written letters to a couple dozen Canadian politicians, and because they were pretty hard-hitting on the immigration issue, he was charged under the Canadian hate law and ended up with an 18-month sentence in jail. And these were letters. These were not threatening letters. They were outspoken against third world immigration, but there was no threat or whatever. But he had a very, very bad lawyer, and the end result was 18 months in jail and then probation. And over the years, he's had problems with some of the probation conditions. At one point, he was not allowed to write to anybody. Damn. Not just the politicians or the media, but nobody. He could not have even sent a birthday card to his mother. So, okay, time went on. He moved to Alberta and was working in the oil patch. And from time to time would write letters or make phone calls to the local paper or local politicians. So he's a number of times being charged with harassment. He's beaten the charges. 3 years ago, he was charged with harassment for writing letters to, making phone calls to the local newspaper and writing letters to, I believe, the mayor. Anyway, that charge will not be heard until this November. In the meantime, a few weeks ago, he was arrested for writing letters to several other a mayor's committee in Fort McMurray and several politicians. Again, the charges are harassment. So in Canada, harassment is so loosey-goosey. It doesn't mean, you know, stalking you or following you around or calling you up at 3 in the morning. The way I see it is you can make one, the corrupt establishment will allow you to make maybe one call or send one letter once. But if you follow up or you are persistent, that's harassment. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel safe. About 3 weeks ago, Brad was arrested again for writing letters, and he was taken 5 hours away to Edmonton, the capital of Alberta. He's now in jail in the Edmonton Remand Center, and he was denied bail. Now, you know, that has to be read in terms of the type of people who do get bail. Recently, there was a story in the Vancouver papers that a fellow who had been wanted for rape for 14 years, but he couldn't be found. Well, he finally being found, so he faces charges of rape, and I think evading custody, but okay, rape. He's out on bail. So, you know, if you do something bad, you actually harm somebody, the system's very lenient with you. But if you say something that they think is bad, you criticize. The system is ruthless. So right now, Brad is in the Edmonton Detention Center in Edmonton, Alberta. He's allowed only 5 phone calls a month. I mean, he's under conditions that begin to approach that of that Soviet dissident, Navalny, who's only allowed very limited contact with the outside world. Trudeau wants to wag his fingers at Putin about the treatment of dissidents. I just hope that Putin or the Soviet, the Russian ambassador, will say, hang on there, Justin. But what about people like Brad Love, nonviolent people like Brad Love or Tamara Lynch or another one I can tell you about, Les Borey.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think Putin has made light of the so-called democracy and the situation with people who have been incarcerated in our countries.
Yes. And, you know, it's a very good point. It's only a very small number of countries for a limited number of a limited period of time that have adopted this idea that you should have freedom of speech and freedom to dissent, and not freedom to go and bomb somebody, but freedom to, you know, to shoot your mouth off, send a letter, make a phone call. In some, you know, we can imagine there's parts of the Third World where that's not allowed, and certainly not in communist China, and maybe, not so much in Russia. But let's not kid ourselves. That's what we have in certainly in Canada and much of Western Europe. if you criticize the wrong group, you find yourself in jail. You know, like in Canada now, it is an offense to dissent from the World War II account of the Hollywood version of World War II, the so-called Holocaust. That was snuck through on a budget item in 2022. So the notion of free speech and intellectual inquiry doesn't apply here, and of course doesn't apply in Germany and many other parts of Europe. And I'm sure you've heard a lot from Monica about what happened in Germany to her, and also continues to happen to her brother Alfred.
You know, I've always thought that Canada, starting with Ernst Zundel, was much more restrictive on comments about such things as a Holocaust. But of course, we know that this is coming to this country, and a good example would be down in Florida with that ruling about not distributing literature that would expose the Jews can land you 5 years in prison. So it's coming our way. And of course, you're talking about these restrictions against political prisoners. You can look at Matt Hale, who wasn't sentenced to 40 years. He's been in 20 years. He spent almost most of that in solitary. And right now, he is not able to communicate with anybody except his family. They're so fearful of his thoughts.
You know, one of the this is all a flim-flam. It has nothing to do with hate. It has everything to do with protecting certain privileged minorities. One of the aspects of the flim-flam is the people wanting censorship are always vulnerable. We're vulnerable minorities. We're victims. We're marginalized, blah, 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 blah. It's almost laughable that the organized Jewish lobby wants to portray itself as marginalized or victims or vulnerable. You know, they're incredibly wealthy financially with tremendous control of the mass media and influence of major institutions. There may be vulnerable or marginalized groups in Canada and the United States, but they are not one of them. And the same flim-flam is being pushed forth by the LGBTQ crowd, who have tremendous political power, but they hold themselves forth as a vulnerable minority or marginalized.
You know, Paul, in Canada, I think Canada's not as violent as the state, the United States, since, for instance, we had going back to Ferguson, Missouri, probably what, 6 or 7 years ago, when the feral blacks burnt Ferguson, Missouri to the ground. And then we have them, trying to destroy the what they call the Miracle Mile in Chicago, Minneapolis, St. Paul, burning, looting, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington. I'll finish that soon. We come back for this break, Paul. Hang on. Be right back, folks, right after this break.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio family, we were talking earlier. I asked Miss Lizzie and Sister Nancy if it seems like we're in a time warp or something. I know Rand was talking about it a couple of weeks ago. It seems like that each week it goes faster and faster and faster. And it was so bad, like the last week, I think, I was speaking and I thought we were on the brakes. And we were live. But anyway, we're going right back to Paul Fromm. And just not to... I don't think it's shifting gears or going down a rabbit trail or anything, but during the break, Nancy was asking Paul if he's still barred from coming into the United States. After all, we know, I can understand why they would want Paul here, because he's such a violent rebel, you know. And you can tell by the way he speaks, he's just barely able to speak the English language, you know. So we can understand why they wouldn't want him here. But no, don't be facetious. Paul, will they tell the family a little bit about the conversation you and Nancy were having during the break about, your difficulties coming to the United States? I know you used to come visit Pastor Thomas Robb in Arkansas, and I wish you could come up because I would come up there and meet you. But tell the listeners, Blood River Radio people, a little bit about that, Paul.
Yeah, yes. I visited the United States on numerous occasions from 1970 on to 2016, and right after the shooting in South Carolina, I found myself banned. Well, they don't say banned. They said they were denying me entry. I suppose an official ban would be more easier to appeal. Well, then I was told I needed a visa. All right. So I went through a year's application process to get a visa. I had an interview, and the black woman who interviewed me was very, very much concerned about what rank my father had in the German army. I said, well, my father didn't fight in the German army. My father was in the Royal Canadian Navy, and my mother was in the Canadian Army as a nurse. But they absolutely had German army on their minds. And so I was denied the visa, but I was, this is the weird thing. I was told by the woman who gave me the paper saying, well, you're turned down for the visa. It was interesting. It was in English on one side, it was a form letter, English on one side and Punjabi on the other side. I never could figure that out. My connection with the Punjabs were pretty remote. So I was told, well, I could just go to any border crossing, and the agent there would make a decision. So, okay, I went down across the Niagara Falls, New York, which is about an hour from where I live. And I was detained for about an hour or two and a half hours, and denied entry, fingerprinted and all that stuff. Damn. And told I needed a visa. I did that a couple more times. And I said, well, this is like, we can't get there from here. They won't give me a visa, but they say just present yourself, and the agent will make a judgment on the spot. And then the agent says, well, you need a visa. So then along came COVID. I didn't do anything anymore. And then 2 months ago, I again tried to cross, and I was told the same thing. And I was told the Canadian government that may not have wanted me to travel. Now, I have no idea whether that's true or not. So I'm again in the process of applying for a visa. And, I find it, shocking that complete illegals, desperados from all over the third world can sneak into the United States. But a person who's never been convicted of anything has a clean driving record, blah, 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 is being obstructed. It really makes you wonder.
It's awful. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they confiscated your books at one crossing, too.
Oh, that was years ago. That was Canadian authorities. They at one point, about 20 years ago, they confiscated 93 different titles.
Damn.
And on suspicion of being hate propaganda. Mm-hmm. Eventually, after much to-ing and fro-ing, I got almost all of them back. But it was just harassment. I even took the agent to court, and mm-hmm. we got the charges were dismissed. But I don't think we should be waving our fingers at Russia or India, telling them
lessons in
democracy.
If I'm not mistaken, I believe that you and I crossed paths in Memphis when they had that big, that was another big screw up when the David Duke was there and they had to. They had to move from one place to another. I've met you before, but I'm pretty sure you were there.
But that was a Euro conference where he had a mm-hmm. place in the northern, extreme northern part of Mississippi, booked, and then the pressured he ended up being kicked out of his own hotel.
Sure did.
I think he was kicked out of three hotels. Yeah, he was kicked out of three hotels.
This is David Duke. Yeah.
It was absolutely. True. It's just, that compared to what they're doing in other countries. We talk about we got all this freedom, and we're the land of liberty and free press and free speech. Well, let's face facts. That depends on who you are and who's speaking.
Absolutely. And it emphasized, unfortunately to me, I used to be 110% pro-business and so on. I'm still a free enterpriser, but I have nothing but contempt for the way many corporations break. They have a contract. You have a contract for a meeting. They break it, and I think it was in 2010, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance got canceled out of five hotels. He had firm contracts with one after another, and they broke them.
Of course, the Jews are behind this, and they do so much violence that I think, with reference to the event in Memphis, they threatened the life, I think, of the property, whoever was over the hotel there in Mississippi, and I believe he ended up giving up his job. I mean, they are so violent.
Yeah, I remember
that. I
guess
they call in and they threaten their lives, their families, and I think he ended up retiring early.
They always do that, though.
And that's that's a terrible thing, but you want to say, well, wait a sec, that's why we have something called the POLICE for. I mean, mm-hmm. if somebody makes a threat, then give them protection. I mean, this is elementary.
Guess what? The police are in on the take, because remember, if I'm not mistaken, they also found an isolated farmland where they were going to set up, and the owner agreed, but all of a sudden the police started surveilling it with helicopters, and he got scared.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I was there too, Nancy. I didn't even know you were there until tonight. And matter of fact, I was working for.
We've talked about it before, you nitwit.
I don't remember. I promise you, I was working for one of the largest hospitals in the tri-state area, Methodist University, and I had kind of like a little costume on, you might say. But I just pulled my baseball cap over my head, and I was doing some filming and recording stuff while Duke spoke, and I posed myself as I acted like a newspaper reporter, asking him a question. I remember I asked him. I said, if somebody here was coming like Jesse Jackson or somebody like that, Dr. Duke, do you think you would be getting the same horrible treatment? And he said, that's a good question, young man. Like he acted like he didn't know me. But yeah, it was so funny. They declared the governor, the government of Mississippi, they declared an emergency, disaster.
An
emergency. Yeah. Shut the whole damn county down. You know, they surely did. I mean, you know what? In the news media, the cops, everybody, they were chasing, going. It was like the Keystone Cops. They were trying to figure out where the hell's Duke? Which way did he go? And wound up at this hotel over off. Went about 5 miles from my house for less. And it was funny as hell. We all had a good time,
though. That worked out great. Well, back to political prisoners. Before we sign off, I'd like to hear a little bit more about Leslie Boring.
Okay, yes. Leslie Boring was arrested on the 14th of February. He is still in jail. He is a podcaster, something called Radio Brantford. That's the city he lives in. And back on, I believe it was the 10th of February, he had a broadcast. It was pretty hardcore pretty opinionated. And he was arrested at gunpoint at his place of business a couple of days later. Yeah, rifles. He has no criminal record. At the same time, they raided his house. They put down one of those. They blocked the street with that type of tape with a spike belt. Also, guns drawn. They never charged his wife, but they looted his house and took his computers, her computers, etc. And so he's being charged with. 3 counts of uttering threats, and we have been back and forth numerous times trying to get him bail. They just will not release him. Don't forget, he was a non-violent, opinionated person. What's the difference between him and Alexei Navalny? I guess you could say Navalny is Jewish in Russia, and Les Bory is Hungarian in Canada. That's the diff. Both of them are in jail for the nonviolent expression of their political opinions. We're trying to get a court date.
That's what I was thinking. I think he's been kind of in isolation, hasn't he? And not been allowed
No, he's not in isolation. And he's on good terms with other prisoners, and he's been writing away on a book.
He's still writing, huh?
Bless his heart. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul, is there any way? I just happened to think I should have thought about this earlier. Is there a website where people might try to donate to the defense fund there or anything? Do you have a website address available handy?
I can give you a website, but you would have to Facebook. PayPal cut us off after Charlottesville. So anybody who would like to help, I'll give you a mailing address.
Make it quick because ran out of time.
Cafe, P.O. Box 332, Rexdale, that's Rexdale, Ontario, Canada, and the code is M9W5L3.
We'll get that out there again because we follow you. I get your emails, and we'll get there. And when Sister Monica comes back, and I know Nancy, we'll make sure that information gets out there, Paul. Paul, thank you so much for coming on tonight. We've run completely out of time, and I appreciate
you
coming on.
Can you send me the link?
Yes, sir. I most certainly will. I'm glad that Nancy came on to ramrod the show. I was kind of in the way, but just all I did was bring y'all in out of the place. But thank you so much again. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Lizzie. Thank you, Jay. Thank you, Blood River Radio family, so much. And tune in the same place, same time next week, 1st of October. Good night, everybody.